Hello.
Hello.
Hi, welcome. So,
Thank you.
we're a little bit of unconventional setup today, but you're here, and that's all that matters.
I'm
Welcome.
here.
Welcome. Can I just call you Mark?
You can call me Mark.
All right, perfect. So, do you want to introduce yourself? What are you known for? Where are you from?
So I'm Mark Watson. I'm known for I don't know, working for Mojang. I originally joined the team, starting the customer service team a couple of years ago, and then I did a little bit of social media for Scrolls, and then I started the Minecraft content team, which works on both Java Realms maps and marketplace maps and skins and all that kind of stuff. And I'm known for, I don't know, what else? Tweeting. I tweet a lot. And I'm originally from a little island. Or a big island, really, in Washington State. But I tell everyone I'm from Seattle because no one else knows where Whidbey Island is.
Didn't even know there was islands, I'm gonna be honest.
It's the biggest island in the contiguous US, I believe. It takes about an
Really?
hour to drive from top to bottom.
Oh wow. Okay. All right, well, I'm learning stuff. I'm learning stuff. That's what we're here
If
for.
you look over at Seattle and then you look at the water, the Puget Sound above that, there's a like an island shaped like an old telephone receiver.
That's very specific. Wow,
Well, you
okay.
say old too, because if you say telephone, they're like, oh, okay, where's the brick-shaped thing?
Yeah, where's the rectangle? So that's interesting. So you came, we talked about this in the pre-interview, but you started 7 years ago, you said?
Seven and a half years ago now. I think I
So
joined in February.
how did you get the job? How did you even start playing Minecraft, doing this whole thing?
So my last job, I worked for about 7 years also. And I was working in health insurance, mostly in customer service, but did a little bit of call center management. And I got laid off one day, just kind of out of nowhere. They laid off some people and I didn't have a job anymore. At the time I was actually trying to go back to college to be a programmer, and I was taking Java courses, which is funny because to date, I've used none of that in my job working at Minecraft. But I do know, I know enough. I say I know enough about programming to be dangerous, so there's that. But I was unemployed at the time, and for the past couple of years before that, I had been working with PAX, the Penny Arcade Expo, and that's a huge gaming convention for the people that don't know, and that takes place in a couple places now, but back then it was in Seattle only. And then we also did the first year. I was at the first, I think, five PAX Easts. I'd worked my way up through the ranks there, and I was one of the expo hall managers. So, like, all the big companies that come on show off, like Xbox and Sony and all those, I had control of about, I don't know, half of that hall. And then I came back to Seattle, and because we were all volunteers, the organization was a little bit haphazard, and I did not get to be a manager again, but I was still like in that organization. So one of my friends and kind of colleagues within that PAX convention running sphere, she said, "Well, I will give you any booth that you want and be their exhibitor assistant for the weekend." And I said, "Okay, well, Mojang is showing off Minecraft for the very first time." At PAX, and this would have been 2011. So I show up at their booth and I say, "Hello, you know probably not much about PAX right now, but I have been assigned to help you for the weekend. I've assigned myself to help you for the weekend, kind of." And I did. I helped them out. I don't know, ran lines around their convention booth, and I walked Notch back and forth with a group of people acting sort of as security because he would get mobbed every time he moved. And anyway, I worked with him for about the 2 or 3 days. And at the end I said, you guys should if you need a person to run your customer service team, you should." And they're like, "Oh yeah, maybe, we'll see." And I was just some guy. And then Minecon was coming up about, I don't know, this would have been like a month or two or three later. And I said, "Do you need any volunteers for Minecon?" And of course, I was still unemployed at the time, and so I had no money. But they were having Minecon in Las Vegas, which wasn't the furthest away. It's like a 2 or 3 hour flight. And they said, "Yeah, okay, yeah, maybe." And then I got a a call or an email from Vu, not very far before MineCon, and he said, "Do you want to be the volunteer director for all of the volunteers at MineCon?"
Oh
And
my
I
God.
said, in a slightly kind of terrified inner voice, I said, "Absolutely, I'll do that." So I booked a flight and put it on my credit card because I had no money. Got a hotel. My friend Eric, who I tapped to be kind of my deputy, but secretly he was more qualified than me. He actually ran a bunch of conventions, and I think he now works as a pretty high up person for Child's Play Charity. He graciously let me stay in his hotel room for free. So I went over to MineCon. I helped run that for a couple of days there, and we did the first MineCon in Las Vegas. And I had a staff of about 70 people that year, I think, none of whom I had ever met before. And I did that for a couple of years. I actually, when I came on, I think the third year I did it, we had a staff of 200, so it grew quite rapidly. But
Wow.
at the end of that weekend, I said, "Hey, we ran a great show, and you still have no customer service team. Perhaps you should have someone that's not a developer answer all of your emails for you." And they said, "Yeah, maybe we'll." And I'm like, okay, so I go back home, and this was, when was MineCon? Like the fall, like October or something, September, I don't know, maybe November. But I got an email in like January, and it was from Carl, the CEO at the time, and he says, "Hey, do you want a job?" I still have no money. I still would like a job with you, of course. In the meanwhile, I had just been playing Minecraft. Like, if you're unemployed and Minecraft had just come out, that's all you're gonna do is play Minecraft.
Yeah, suck. It's a time suck.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just begged them for a job repeatedly. I think that in the years since, with what I've done in that team and getting into Mojang, and then what I've done subsequent positions, some of it's being there at the right time, the right place, but some of it is just harassing people until they give you a job. If you can prove to them that you're competent enough to handle that job. So it's worked out pretty well for me so far.
Well, I mean, I think that may have helped you get into the initial position, but I'd say you pretty much busted your ass to get to where you are now, right? I mean, like you've been there for 7 years. You don't just do that without like being pretty good, I'd say.
One would hope, I suppose. I definitely worked hard because for the first 2.5 years I worked remotely, largely from coffee shops in Seattle. I went traveling for a month or two one time. I worked out of Victoria, BC. I worked out of LA, kind of up and down the West Coast, when I was traveling with my partner at the time. And then I moved over to Seattle, permanently, and just kept doing customer service from home and from coffee shops. I drank a lot of Starbucks, hung out in Green Lake in Seattle, if
I
people
mean,
know where that
everyone in
is.
Seattle's blood is basically Starbucks coffee, right?
I mean, that's what they would have you believe. At least the Starbucks company would have you believe that. But yeah, it's tasty coffee. So, it was funny, a couple of days ago, I actually was between doing some things. I had to get some work done, and I had brought my laptop with me. Excuse me. And I ducked into a coffee shop for about 30 or 60 minutes, and I did some work there, and I had some flashbacks to the early days.
Some Vietnam
Yeah.
flashbacks.
But the work that I do is much different than I
Yeah.
started.
So yeah, you've basically your whole job description has evolved over time, and it was cool because I'd been following you on Twitter for a long time and seeing you sort of go from that to the Realms manager, and now you're the marketplace content manager, right? Is that what you call yourself, content manager?
Yeah, more or less. So
Okay.
my tactical, I guess the job is Minecraft content lead,
Ah.
which means different things to different people, but I invented the title, so it means what it means to me. Content is very non-specific, but it is what we work with, and Minecraft is very broad, but it's also what we work with. So I don't know, if someone at Mojang wants to give me a more precise title, they can eventually, but for now we work with Minecraft content, and I'm the lead of that.
Yeah, and so
So
what does that encompass for you? Like what would you define content as being?
in general, and when we started maps, you'd save a world file and then you'd share it with someone else. And so when we started doing all this, my colleague Patrick came to me and he said, "So we just started this new Realms thing," and this was, I think, probably 2012. This was maybe a Minecon Paris chat, and he's like, "We need some mini games." I'm like, "Well, I know some mini people." So I think I approached like Hypixel back when he was mostly doing map making and YouTubing, and like Seth playing and some other people, and I said, "Would you like to take your mini games and put them into Minecraft?" And they said, "Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good idea." Basically, no one ever. Okay, one guy ever turned us down, I think. But like,
Right.
when we offered, we're like, "Yeah, so you're already hosting these maps online for free somewhere on a website. Would you like to insert them into the service, and then they'll just be hosted here as well? And that way people can have some kind of content when they load up a realm, they click it and it pops in." But we had to make sure that there were no bad things in the maps. Because while we trusted the initial group of people that we reached out to, this program would soon expand to the greater internet. And especially, I don't know when we started offering it, but we started offering Minecraft map maker capes as well. So the people who wanted to get in were unknown to us at that point.
Right.
So my team had to check through the maps to make sure there's nothing bad that's. They're fun and playable. Like, we don't want to put bad stuff up. We want to make sure that it's technically compatible. So yeah, it was largely adventure maps and survival spawns and that kind of thing. When I was working, I was on the Realms team. At some point, I kind of saw some changes coming up. We had some changes in staff, and the meetings were getting more and more technical, especially as they moved into also doing Bedrock servers at the same time. And so the team, I guess, wasn't quite as relevant to me, so I split off and made my own team. And pretty early on, it was just the two of us, and then it was three, and it's currently five. There are four content coordinators that work with me. So we do Minecraft's marketplace content, and excuse me,
Please
the
don't die in the middle of the interview.
no, I now realize we have a bottle of water nearby when they're like giving speeches and stuff.
Yeah.
So I just got some water. But right now on Marketplace, you can still load up content like normal. I think that not everyone necessarily understands this, especially if they don't play on Bedrock. But if you want to load up a skin or a world or a resource pack, whatever, go for it. If you want to find things on the store made by some of your fellow creators and players, and have stuff that's like been checked out and they're like a business, so they're running it at a certain, level, they have like staff and everything,
Yeah.
then cool, go check out stuff on the marketplace as well. What you'll find there is a collection of maps, just like always, but then also skin packs, resource packs, so like textures and that sort of thing. And you can go there and just load up stuff and spend some coins on the marketplace and have a kind of library of content. And it's a mix of first party stuff, so like things we've done officially, for example, the Star Wars pack or the Steven Universe pack, and that's mixed in with the partnered content, with all the like popular partners people might have heard of over the years.
Yeah, and you mentioned that people run this as a business, and I was going to get into this later, but this seems like a good jumping off point. People make a living on here, right?
Yes, absolutely.
People don't really, I don't think a lot, like, that's something in the, in to bring it back, because it's sort of a modded based chat, but, that's something that's been tried to be done in this community for a long time, and people don't realize that outside of it, like, people have made a living in pretty good livings in out of the marketplace content.
Yeah, I think up until now, or up until, I guess, Marketplace has just turned 2 years old a couple of days ago. But up until then, the money to be made was, I guess, largely in two places. If you were a YouTuber, you got money from YouTube's platform. So what they did was they set up a platform that you could upload content to, and then you can get some kind of revenue off of, which is reminiscent of the marketplace. The business model isn't identical, but it's a platform that you can make money off of. The other thing was doing servers, and that's had a kind of a mixed history, but there has been money to be made there as well in the past. But to have map makers be able to make a reasonable and regular income was something that was really exciting to us. Personally, and I just say this as me, but I think other people share the opinion too. I would love if any kind of Minecraft creator could make a living at it. Now, what kind of platform exists for it, or what kind of like a vehicle for that? Some of those exist, some of them do not exist at this time, or necessarily in the future. I don't know, but I would love if everyone who wanted to make a Minecraft living could do so.
Right.
At this point, though, I don't remember what all stats we released, but I think I can feel comfortable saying that we have minted multiple millionaires.
Wow. That's a great that's a that must feel pretty good. Like you're kind of at the heart of that, so.
It does really feel good for those creators as well. I mean,
Right.
obviously this isn't 100% of creators. Like,
Right.
it's still going to be dependent upon, I mean, these are artists effectively, right? They're making textures, and they're doing level design and all sorts of creating, and some of them can earn a living at it, dependent upon a couple of factors, including how good they are, how well their work is received, all sorts of factors.
Yep.
But people come to us and they say, I bought a new car. I needed a car, and I was able to buy one. Like, sometimes there was a creator who was able to move to a better country from and kind of get out of a rough situation. And then people who can take their businesses and then hire on more people. Like, I'm always impressed by this one random fact. I don't know if anyone else is impressed by it, but the Nox Crew has a community manager. Like, that's like down the list of things that you would like if you were going to start up a game studio. Obviously, like, shout out to my community manager people out there, but like, you'd hire a developer to make things, you'd hire an artist to make things, you'd probably hire some sort of producer, but like, community manager comes in as like a support role to make relations between your players and your developers even better. So like, three and four person teams usually don't have a community manager because everyone's doing that job. But at a certain point, you have enough funding and enough availability that you can split off into those other roles. So for example, you might have an artist, but then like, a studio that has really grown can hire a concept artist, and they're specialized into that thing, and they've been hired on to do that specific kind of thing. So it's just really cool to see some of those teams grow up.
Yeah, when people stop wearing multiple hats, that's how you know it's a good it's like a thriving sort of business, right? Like when people have to have multiple job titles.
Yeah, sometimes I think that there certainly are some indie studios out there. Like, now I'm thinking like indie game studios in the kind of more traditional gaming sense, like Vlambeer or something, who has like two people or something. And they're able to consistently have some really cool games.
Right.
But I think that also takes a level of time and focus and energy, and like, I think it can make you crazy if you're doing this kind of at that sort of a level with a low amount of staff. But once you can staff up and afford to do so, then kind of the possibilities of what you can accomplish start to shift a little bit.
Right. So, what do you see? Where do you see the marketplace? I mean, how do you see it now? How do you see it in like, 5 years?
I think right now it's in a really good place. I saw some numbers recently, and they were very encouraging. I don't have any concerns about where the marketplace is right now. I don't fully know where it's heading in the next 5 years, partially because the marketplace organization is so large. Again, people are specialized and not wearing as many hats. It's so large that we have people working, on business management that I don't talk to very often.
Right.
Or we have people doing, specialized development for too very often. I'm mostly in contact with the partner manager team and then my team. So I think one of them might be able to speak to that a little bit better. But in the future, I think that we'll continue to see a robust marketplace with, innovative creators, and I think that is not slowing down.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that, 'cause I think via that, via the marketplace, via that, like there's people who have not transitioned, but in addition to modding, has gone to the marketplace. Like Pam from Pam's Harvest Craft has done that. She's moved on, moved to making, I think she has a map on there.
Yeah, I actually had reached out to modders, and she and I talked. So I was aware of that even before she sent. And this goes back to, I would love for everyone to be able to make money at doing what they love. And I've talked with modders about this, like with Java modders about this. And I said, currently we have a platform that does this. In the future, we may or may not have a platform that does that. But if you want in right now on the thing that currently exists, absolutely. I will help you out. I will get you connected with the right people. If you want to translate some of what you do into the marketplace, that is there for you. Now, is it everything you've always wanted? Not necessarily. I think we provide opportunities that we can, that hopefully touch on a number of different things that people want to do, but that's not always everything that specific people want to do, right? So I think that if you kind of keep your eyes open for those opportunities, you can jump in and, be a part of something really big here. I think that the modding community was absolutely integral to the success of Minecraft and continues to be. I think that, and people say that they don't hear Mojang say that, but I think that that opinion is shared by many of my coworkers, especially because we hired a bunch of
I was
modders
gonna say a
too.
lot of your coworkers are modders.
Yeah, exactly. But like, no, they were essential. They, like YouTubers, were kind of one of the element that allowed Minecraft to grow and be shared and to mean different things to different people. Right now, we have the marketplace, so if people want to hop into that, awesome. Might we have other opportunities in the future for content creators of different types? Possibly. I would love to see some of these programs expand in a meaningful way that kind of works for everyone.
That do you have this may be cut out, but do you have any sort of future plans for the marketplace in terms of that you can share?
You might have to go. I don't have any future plans that I can share for that specifically, no. We recognize that there are people who want to do things in a certain way, and we would like to facilitate what we can. I think that there are a lot of, like, creators think of things from a creator perspective. They don't often think of things from our. The opposite is sometimes true as well. Like, we try to think from a creative perspective, but then we also have to think from our perspective. Like, what does the platform look like? What does it take to make money off the thing? What does it take to operate this business? I guess I can sort of touch on that lightly as some of the conversations I've had with the community. We're talking about what it would take to sell mods versus sell a world. Well, for one, that touches on some brand issues that have been brought up even internally for discussion. Maybe one camp says that players should be able to purchase anything that they would like and use it in their world, and the other camp says that you shouldn't ever sell people new blocks or new features or whatever, even if that's through a mod. Because Mojang would certainly, and I say this with fingers crossed, but would certainly not sell you a new block for $1 or for $10 or whatever. Because to date, part of the success of our game has been the fact that we make free updates to it. But interestingly, that's maybe not the best business off of. Because if you say, let's say World of Warcraft, not quite the same game, not quite the same game model, but the expansions cost money. Now imagine if they didn't cost any money. The revenue that they would have to take in order to support the game development for the next 10 years or whatever, that's got to come from somewhere. And if it's not coming from them purchasing something, it comes from a subscription or whatever. But anyway, I'm sort of off track. But I think when we think about it, we have to look at how that platform would work, if it is right for the brand, if it is right for creators. If it makes monetary sense for us to run it, and those sorts of things. So there's a lot of considerations to be made.
I totally understand that because I feel and I might get shit for this, but I feel that the marketplace is a good middle ground at the moment because it facilitates people to make money. It facilitates something that feels unprecedented, like allowing creators to make money off of another game. But it also provides revenue for the company, so it's sort of a win-win for both, you know. And it's in sort of a safer way, like doing it through worlds and resource packs and stuff like that. So I appreciate it. While it's not as flexible or as you know, as crazy as the modding world is, I don't think anything ever will be. I personally think it's appreciated. And
we recognize that there is a demand on those platforms, especially
right,
for custom content, because you know, like I said earlier, you can load up custom content, a PC version of Bedrock, just the same almost. Right. But you can load up custom content, and on Xbox, on iOS, like those platforms aren't as flexible, and that's not even us. That's just the platform, right?
Right.
So by their nature, you don't have the same ability to get that kind of content. And right now, the current vehicle for some of that is the marketplace. So we recognize that there is a desire for it. And I will say that in the discussions about whether or not it is right fit for us to be doing certain things, that there are a number of unanswered questions so far. So I think we hear players on what they would like, mm-hmm. and then it's kind of up to us to figure out if it makes sense to do that.
I appreciate all you've said, because I know it's probably pretty hard to come on and talk about this sort of stuff when it's, you don't have concrete answers and stuff like that. So it's appreciated. Thank you for
oh yeah, I'm having potential like Twitter conversations like running through my head right now, on specific things. I mean, like, so I hear that this feature is coming out. I go, oh god, no, what if
I will not I will not make it like that. Don't worry. I won't clickbait title like Mark says mods are coming to Bedrock.
Oh, God.
Don't worry. But yeah, like I really do appreciate it. And do you have anything cool that's coming down the line? That
yes. Oh gosh, what can I actually talk about though? I have had the pleasure of being able to touch on most of our game products at one point or another. I think that that's been part of, I've been around for quite some time, mm-hmm. and I feel still like daily very lucky when people reach out to me and say, hey, do you want to advise on this thing, or do you want to write something for this thing? For example, I did a bit of proofreading and writing on something that, if it ever sees the kind of the public light, might not be for years. So maybe someone can ask me in 5 years what I'm.
All right, if you're still around, I'll have you back on.
I have been working very diligently and recently on a project that people will hear more about, hopefully in the coming months. I think it won't be whatever people are guessing. So don't worry about that. It is very, very cool. We're not prepared to talk about too many details yet, but I have gotten to branch out into other skill sets, and it has been very rewarding to do so.
That had to have been top 10 most cryptic answers I've ever received.
I know. I've been really good, I think, at navigating those.
You're like a politician.
Yeah, well, and you kind of have to be. I mean, so
I'm not shitting on you, by the
because,
way.
Yeah. But like, it's interesting because we were this small indie company. I was employee number 15.
Right.
And now, between the two studios, we have almost 400 people.
You do not? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my god! Yeah, I didn't realize it was that big now.
Yeah, there's about 150 in Stockholm, and I think there's that many, maybe 200 in Redmond, something like that.
Wow.
Okay. And like, I don't know if you've seen our job posting, but we're hiring all the time for stuff.
Yeah, I see those. I guess I just never realized how it adds up like that.
Yep. And we're working on some things that you'll see years from now, some things that you'll see soon. It's a pretty exciting time right now, I think. But what I mean when I say that there's so many people is that if you, you know, when you're 15 people, everyone can fit around the same table.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to say, hey, we made a new feature today, let's tweet about it, you know, you can. And then, I mean, what's the worst that's happened? You tweet about someone else's feature and they go, hey, that was a move. Maybe don't do that. But that didn't really happen for a while. And then now we have a big organization. And so if we make a product, for example, Minecraft Earth, which I haven't really had much interaction with myself, but I know that around Minecraft Earth, there are different like social beats, right? So our social media team has gotten together and said, okay, on this day we'll talk about this, on this day we'll tweet this in this way, we'll link to a blog post. The blog post is being run by our creative team. The website is being run by the systems or the web team. I'm getting the name wrong, I'm sure, but the marketing beats are planned by the team. So we are part of this machine, this organization, and that's what it takes to put out the best-selling game of all time.
Yeah.
And we still have a comparatively small number of developers, and I think the developers are the faces that people are used to seeing. You don't necessarily see the marketing team or the web team or all the other teams that work together to put out these kinds of launches. But kind of getting back to what I was saying is that if you spoil something nowadays, you're letting down like 50 people or like the whole organization or whatever. So it has been one of many, many interesting transitions as we've gone from a small independent studio to part of the larger whole, as part of Xbox Studios. It has certainly been a learning experience.
I can't imagine. Yeah, it must have been pretty exponential for a while there, and probably still is.
Well, and what I say is that I can speak for myself, and I think this is maybe true for a number of of my coworkers, but I sort of grew up within this company. I'm almost 34. I've been here for 7.5 years. So I was in my 20s when I started. A lot of people in their 20s. And there was a time at Mojang, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, when I think I calculated 10% of the office was having
You
like
cut out
at
there.
once.
You cut out there. Was what?
Oh no. So I was calculating years ago that 10% of the office at the time was having a baby.
Oh my God, wow.
And it was because, maybe we had like, it was probably like 60 people and like six people were having kids or whatever, but it was the right age, right? And so for a lot of early Mojang, it was people of roughly the same age. Now, as things have gone on, we've diversified quite a lot. We're in multiple countries. We have multiple people from different backgrounds. I think the Stockholm office specifically has something like 20 or 25 different nationalities in it. So things have changed just greatly over time.
That's amazing. That's really cool to hear. I'm glad that I was able to hear from somebody from the inside, because normally we just hear from the modders and the players. So I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody check Mark out on Twitter. I don't know if you have anything else to plug. Do you?
Not really. No, I'm on Twitter, MARC_IRL, and I check that pretty frequently. Some would say too frequently. So if you have any questions about what I do, feel free to reach out to me, and I will generally answer you.
There we go. Thank you so much for being on.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.